We're doing things just a little bit different today. Something a little different in that I'm going to speak for just a few minutes. Believe it or not, this will be the shortest message I probably ever preach here. Okay. And then following that, we have a special speaker this morning that's going to share her testimony, and it will be done just a little bit differently, and you'll see that in just a few minutes. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 3. There's nothing on the screen this morning, and so there's nothing to follow, no blank to fill in or anything else. But Romans chapter 3. I actually titled this, and I'm almost afraid to say this, but please don't tell anybody I've ever used this word, but this is like a sermonette, okay? Romans 3, the title, God's Buyback Program. And in chapter 3, look at verse 21 and following. In the English Standard Version, we read this. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word redemption I want you to focus on this morning, one of them. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You don't have to look very far in our society to see all kinds of programs instituted. One such thing is the buyback programs that cities sometimes have to buy back guns to get them off the streets. And that's a political thing, and there's things that could be talked about there, but that's just one instance where cities and municipalities have buyback programs. There are others. Phone companies, wireless companies have buyback programs. And their reason is financial. But the buyback program that God has instituted is much different. And while these others may be for social change and for money, God's buyback program is simply because of His grace and His love. The communion table before you this morning is a reminder of God's grace. Every time we come together to partake in this, it should remind us of what God has done for us, and out of His great love, and how He has demonstrated that love through His Son. And for the lack of a better term, when we use the word program, we look at something else in the Scriptures. I ask you to focus on that word redemption. There in verse 24. Again, he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption. Redemption simply means ransom. A ransom has been paid. And God's buyback program, here is how it's different. Because the buyback program of others is in exchange for something that is sometimes of equal value. But the ransom that God has paid for us is far more than what we are worth. The price that He was willing to pay is far more than what my life is worth. And so in order to rightly partake of this table, at least three things must have taken place. One, you and I must reckon or be reconciled to God. meaning that peace, a peace accord, has been established between God and ourselves. To be reconciled means that something needs to take place for peace to be established with God. Not the peace of God, but peace with God. For us to have peace with God, He had to institute something. And we see it in the reminder of this table. Number two, there must be a declaration of justification. And some people I hear sometimes say, Pastor Rod, you shouldn't use all those churchy words. Justification and sanctification and redemption and imputation and all those kind of things. Those are just churchy words. Well, let me say this to you. They're churchy words because they're spoken to the church. They're churchy words and they're not meant to be used for non-church. But when the church, when people come into the church, they should hear churchy words. Where are you this morning? You're in church. So the justification here, this declaration of righteousness. This is the second thing that needs to take place. And it takes place in three parts. Through God's grace. Through His unmerited favor, what He bestows upon us that we do not deserve. By Christ's sacrifice, what God has given to us that we do not deserve. Which requires propitiation. What that means is simply this, that it is God's wrath being satisfied. God's wrath being satisfied. The word propitiation actually is a picture of the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would walk into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle around it the blood, and then he would sprinkle upon the mercy seat the blood for the redemption of the people of Israel. But that's no longer needed, because what it really means, it literally means covering. And Christ Jesus is our covering, those who believe, who have trusted. And so He is our covering, which satisfies the wrath of God. And then the third thing that needs to take place, and should have taken place before we take part of this table, is repentance. We cannot partake of this table unless we have repented of our sins and called upon the name of Jesus Christ. Unless we truly have trusted and believed. And so those three things, in order to be reconciled, we must be declared righteous. In order to be declared righteous, there must be a sacrifice. And Jesus is the covering that brings us into a relationship with God. He is our covering that covers the wrath of God and imputes to our account righteousness. And that can only be done when we have truly repented of our sins. That's what I want to encourage you to do today. As we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, I ask that those gentlemen that are going to help me with communion this morning come forward to prepare the table. And as they come, I want to ask you, have you done that? Have you repented, trusting in the name of Jesus Christ? Has His blood covered your soul? Covered your sin? I pray that He has. Again, we practice an open communion, so if you are one who has surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you're a baptized believer, we encourage you to search your hearts this morning to make sure that there is nothing in your life that would hinder fellowship with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for demonstrating that love by sending Your Son to die for us. And now as we prepare our hearts to partake of this table, this memorial, may we be reminded of that great sacrifice and confess our sin to you. Lord, if there is any unconfessed sin in our life as a believer, may you reveal it at this very moment, that we might confess it and that we might be restored to you. Again, Lord, we love you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.